Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with more than 375 attorneys and offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base, JonesWalker.com. Additional support comes from Luba Workers' Comp and 30 North Investments.
From Commander's Palace Restaurant in the Garden District in New Orleans, we're out to lunch with Peter Ricchiuti. Peter Ricchiuti is Tulane University's A.B. Freeman School of Business professor and economist. It's business, New Orleans style.
Hi, I'm Peter Ricchiuti. Welcome to Out to Lunch. If you've lived in New Orleans for any amount of time, at some point you've probably had this experience with people visiting from out of town. Now, for the first couple of days, your visitors go crazy eating gumbo, catfish, and fried onion rings. Then on the third day, they ask you, where can we go to get a salad? And you have to shuffle your feet and admit that even though you've been claiming New Orleans is the most cosmopolitan city in the country, actually nowhere. That's what New Orleanian Abi Bansali discovered, too, when he and his partner returned to the city from living in D.C. and New York. And that's why they founded City Greens. Now they have three locations that serve fresh salads, wraps, soups, juices, and more. A lot of it made from produce grown on their own hydroponic farm. Abi, welcome out to lunch.
Oh, thank you for having me.
A couple of years after City Greens opened, Austin Sherman was also concerned about healthy options. He wondered why there was no local kombucha available. If you're wondering what that is, kombucha is a fermented sweet tea that contains probiotics and is reportedly good for your digestive and immune system. Austin figured he couldn't be the only person looking for it, and he started making small batches of what he called Big Easy Kombucha. He was right about his gut feeling, if you'll pardon the pun, and now Big Easy Kombucha is a commercial brewery with a bunch of employees and is available across Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. Austin, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, Abi and Austin, when we talk about success stories like your two businesses, it all sounds oh so easy. When you're telling the story of your company, the natural inclination is to talk about the results, not the process. But it's the process that is the difference between success and failure. So let's go back a step and talk about the process of how you've built your businesses. They're both very new and very successful, so I want to ask you both the same two questions. One, did you go into this with a 10-year plan? In other words, how much preparation went into your business before you opened the doors? And secondly, being in the retail healthy food sector, how much of your success do you think is tied to the changing tastes of the New Orleans market? Have you all just come around really at the right time? I'll start with Austin.
Well, I think what's the traditional thought is to develop a business plan, go through and ask a bunch of questions to yourself, hire a consultant. But our philosophy was very different. We wanted to start lean, right, and get feedback right away. So we started making kombucha at home just for sampling purposes and passed them out to friends and folks in the bartending community that I knew had refined and good palates, and just got feedback. And before we decided to put my savings into the business, which wasn't much, admittedly.
You and your wife?
It was me and my wife.
And
that's correct.
You've been kind enough to say that she's actually the idea behind this.
She is. Yeah. She is. And of course, as any prideful male, I told her it was a terrible idea when she pitched it. And here we are in 150 stores.
Now you're the vice president.
That's right. Exactly. Before we fully launched and decided to jump in with both feet, we made a bunch of sample bottles, kind of came up with a mock label, which looks a little different from today, but and just passed them out to friends and got feedback. And I think, getting live interactions with potential customers and people saying, okay, this is a good idea or it's not. And people are very blunt, honest with you. And I think that's what was surprising in the beginning is, the feedback was immensely positive. And so
a lot of these people had never tried the product. Yeah. And Abi, what about on your side,
Well, I think I can actually answer both of your questions, but in reverse, the way that they are asked. My background was in brand strategy and most specifically public relations. And for us, we noticed, having come from cities like New York and D.C., where health and convenience were ubiquitous. They're at every corner.
Right.
And I'm sure the same went for you, Austin. We came to New Orleans, and finding a healthy meal required time. And finding a quick meal required sacrificing your health.
And those are the two things you were trying to combine, right?
Exactly. So City Greens as a brand really sits at that cornerstone of health and convenience. And we knew that, you know, as we watched new people, new ideas, new tastes, new trends surge into the city, you know, all bent on turning this place, this beloved brand of New Orleans, you know, back to its true potential, they were also bringing in their own tastes, and they wanted to see, you know, healthy, active lifestyles and or the goods and services that that cater to those lifestyles available to them. So,
and you could have both, right? You could have
absolutely
City Greens for lunch and barbecued shrimp for dinner.
Well, that's the beauty of it, right? Is some level of balance.
You've got the three locations now. I know your background's in the brand management side. How do you decide where to put these things?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, and it's something that we get better at with each location. Our first location, which in January will have been open 5 years, which is an amazing fact for us. I mean, we're so excited to be able to say that we've actually survived 5 years. The downtown location for us, you know, when you ask the question about did we plan for this, did we know, we just knew that downtown was the epicenter of this problem. You have so many people moving so quickly, yet there isn't healthy, fresh food available to them. And now Rouse's has certainly helped change that by making it a little bit more accessible and affordable. So downtown was our plan. And the amazing support that we received, we said, okay, we can grow this, and this can be more than just one business. And we really started to understand just how far we might be able to take this. And so when we looked at Harahan and Elmwood, We saw an underserved community. We also, not being able to at that time afford site selectors, you know, like these big brands like Burger King and Five Guys can afford, you know, these massive companies to go find their next, you know, profitable location. We piggybacked on the ones that were already doing it. When we watched Chipotle and Five Guys and Pinkberry and these brands open up
Starbucks
in the same location. And so we used that as a precursor for us. And we said, you know, maybe we can make it work out there too.
Hey, you know, I've got a question for you, Austin. This drink is fermented. Is there alcohol in the drink?
There's trace amounts.
Trace amounts.
Right. And it's
sounds like something you tell your parents when you're coming home. But
So, a little fun fact, you know, fresh squeezed orange juice has trace amounts of alcohol. Oh. Soy sauce has trace amounts of alcohol, right? So you have, during the fermentation process, there is slight amounts that are produced, but at the end it turns out to be a non-alcoholic product. Right.
So nobody's trying to regulate you or anything.
You would have
like
to drink about 45 of these things.
Wow, yeah, that would be really
to feel any sort of.
It's you know. Time to call someone when that's happening. What about the raw materials? What's in there?
Right, so you start off with a sweet tea.
Okay.
We use a non-GMO organic tea blend that we custom tasted and went through. Non-GMO organic sugar, and then the yeast and bacteria go to work on the sugars and the tannins in the tea and produce this like light, effervescent, probiotic-rich drink, right? And then we use farm source ingredients to flavor on the backside, right? Ah. So Ponchatoula strawberries that we pick at peak season.
Yeah, Satsuma chicory.
Right. Satsuma is chicories. The newest flavor we do, they're Mississippi blueberries with mejas, right? It's really nice and refreshing. And
do you get suggestions from people? You know what? You ought to make one of these.
We do. You know, sometimes they're great. Sometimes they're really poor. You know, our one guy said, I'm going to bring a bag of carrots over and we can make a giant batch of carrot kombucha. And maybe it would be delicious. I don't know. But for me, we'll wait on that one.
You're polite and everything. But it's you're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. My guests are Abhi Bhansali from the local trio of healthy restaurants, City Greens, and Austin Sherman, brewer of a local healthy probiotic kombucha drink, Big Easy Bucha. Austin, we talked about where Abhi was going to put his shops. What about yourself? How do you get in the door? I mean, do you want to go into coffee shops? I know you're in a few of them. Is that kind of the goal? Or?
Well, I think, you know, the beverage industry, it's a lot about volume. But for us, we turned down Winn-Dixie very early on because it didn't match. Not that there's anything wrong with Winn-Dixie, but I think when you push yourself into such a large national chain like that right away, you sort of lose your core demographic, somebody that like understands and appreciates and kind of got you there in the first place. And so we're very careful about who we partner with. Whole Foods has been a great partner with us, the New Orleans Food Co-op, the Green Fork, sort of these small mom and pop shops that understand this movement that is, you know, probiotics and juices and smoothies, a lot of what you do, Abhi, and understand. I mean, it's a movement. It's not just a trend or a fad. You know, if people really understanding and taking preventative measures and what they put in their bodies, kind of taking that health.
Can offset the rest of our lifestyle here.
Yeah, right, they, right. Just allows you to drink in the weekend. That's
all. And there's always been the idea that there's some real health benefits. Mm. I don't know if it's been proven, you know, scientifically and such, but what is it that is supposed to be good for you?
There's this new study about probiotics that are coming out and the benefits of increasing the amount of gut bacteria, healthy gut bacteria. And I think it can be shown. There have been some studies that show that it increases natural energy, immunity, sort of helps has some anti-inflammatory effects as well. But I can just tell you from my own use, I don't get sick hardly ever.
Now, Abhi, your hydroponic farm, where is it, first of all?
It's located in Cottondale, Florida. It's just right on the panhandle.
Okay. And did you buy the farm to get to store this?
It's an interesting serendipitous story. Okay. In how the farm really came about. It was kind of by fate. We stumbled upon it. We had a close friend who had approached my business partner's dad asking for some financing help for a hydroponic farm that he was launching. And we did assist him, and we thought, you know, as we were growing this business.
Now, at this point, you had no background in this kind of farming.
Absolutely okay. None. But we saw that we had someone who did, and we said, why don't we piggyback on this? This will be fantastic. We'll be able to source our own our own produce. And it turned out that he didn't really know what he was talking about at all. but the light bulb had gone off, and so it was the impetus for us starting our own farm. And Florida seemed like a great place to do it. We had some property. My business partner's dad had some property. It was large enough to expand on. And it was built on one of the world's largest aquifers. So we were able to, without having to dial in too much, pull pure water from the ground and add in natural minerals, vitamins, nutrients, to feed our plants just exactly what nature deemed important.
You know, how would this look if I went to this farm? How would it not look like a regular farm?
Well, there is no soil whatsoever.
That would be the first thing.
That's the first thing. So when you pull up,
right,
you're going to see several greenhouses, you know, which look like almost traditional hoop houses. And on the inside, you see many, many long channels. They're called nutrient NFT channels, which means nutrient film technique. They're slightly leveled so that gravity really lets the water just trickle through the roots of each of the microgreens and lettuce beds, kind of adding in that little bit of nutrient water, which allows them to grow. And we have, obviously, UV lighting to help kind of mimic the sun. But what those environmentally controlled greenhouses do is it allows us to keep out any pests. It allows us to maintain a chemical-free environment. So we use absolutely no pesticides, no cleaners. We add nothing to our plants that shouldn't be.
Can you taste the difference?
You absolutely can. Our arugula, for the most part, I think is probably the biggest difference. If you were to taste regular arugula store-bought, the peppery flavor in our arugula is noticeable. So if you're at a restaurant in New Orleans and you're eating a mixed green salad or you have some arugula peppered through your salad or your crudo, taste it. See if it's got that little peppery kick. There's a good chance that it's ours.
Wow. By the way, your setup looks like you're ready if pot is legalized.
It could happen. I won't say anything because I wouldn't right. necessarily. I've got my hands full with a few restaurants to run, but But the infrastructure is there.
And what about, you mentioned that you get the three stores. Everybody's probably telling you to scale up, right? I mean, that's, how do you, there's, how do you do it at just the right speed? Or really flip it around, though. Sometimes you're just happy with what you've got. Where do you stand?
Absolutely. I think we stand somewhere in between that. And I hate to take the moderate answer there, but we get a lot of inquiries about franchising, almost, at least a few a week. And it's mostly the kind of franchise inquiries that you want to get. You know, it's from people who have been to our restaurant, loved it so much that they were like, how do I do this myself? And, we've had requests out of Detroit and Seattle, as well as in and around the Louisiana area. And for us, franchising, we're just not ready for that. And I don't know if we're ever going to be ready. As the geek of branding that I end up being every day, I don't know that I'm ready to give up control of that brand.
Yeah, there's a cost.
Because there's a narrative, and until we've figured out how to perfectly tell that narrative and communicate it to our base of guests, I can't give that up to someone. Yeah. And so we've been about steady growth. We're extremely happy with the three restaurants that we have thus far, but that's not where it ends. We see City Greens as being a large player in the southeastern United States, if not bigger than that, and we have... we have this yellow brick road in between the farm and New Orleans. And, the idea is to spend the next few years filling that up.
Between those two dead
points. We hope so.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Austin, let me ask you a similar question. You've had a lot of success so far. You've moved pretty quickly. I mean, you were saying you were sort of making samples in the kitchen sink or such, and now you've got a brewery. What's next? Like today you brought these beautiful new bottles and new labels and such. Where are you pushing to next?
Well, I've got some exciting news that I've saved for your show. We're actually moving to New Orleans. Our brewery will open sometime in October.
Whoa.
And so we'll be open to tours. We're going to build a tap room at some point.
Where's
really
it going to be?
That's going to be Mid-City.
That's great. And right, now you're... Right.
We're in Norco.
I wasn't just throwing that out. Really were in Norco. Wow, that's terrific. And let me ask you, Austin... Are you at all limited by your financing at this point? Are you able to? I know in the beginning you said you kind of bootstrapped it and such. You feel comfortable where you are?
I think so. We're very scrappy, a lot of our process, some of our process, we've manufactured ourselves, to increase efficiencies and speed and workflow. So, we're really tight with how we operate stuff. We've turned down a couple investors along the line just because we went full autonomy and full control. We have a very strong social component to our business. So we donate some money to charity. Two charities that work for currently are the Grow.Dot Community Farm.
Sure. Great group.
So we donate a portion of our proceeds for a specific flavor of ours to them. And then the St. Jude Community Center, which is a soup kitchen, serves about 1,500 meals a week. And we're there most weekends volunteering. We write checks to them. And we see that come back in other ways. And I think that's a very interesting component, sort of the more you give, the more you get kind of situation. And we just firmly believe that with what we can do with our beverage, can affect some change in New Orleans, provide good jobs.
And Austin, you've got something, a problem that Abi does not. I mean, people knew what a salad was before. Now they're knowing what a better salad is. But how do you get people to try this for the first time?
It's tough. I'm in Whole Foods often demoing and talking about the product. And
you like the guy at the end of the aisle?
Oh, yeah. I'm that guy.
That guy? Because the other guy that I steal the cheese from all the time.
So
I tried to distract him.
Right. Yeah, I have seen you in there. Take some bottles and run away with them.
And so getting back to where we were on that, you've got two different ways to do this. I mean, one is trying to get them to buy the bottle at the store, but do you view the coffee houses as just like another way to get people to give it a try?
It is. I think when you look at a grocery store shelf, there are 15 brands, right?
Not of ours. Right, of kombucha, right?
Of kombucha.
Okay.
There's about 10 or 15 brands on the larger grocery chain shelves.
So you've got big percentage of the population doesn't even know what this is.
That's right.
And then once you get them in the door, you've got to convince them
that ours is the best. That's right. So I think there's a challenge. There's definitely an educational part to this, and which is why we're really big on building this tap room sort of like brewery tour experience. We can show people how it's made. You know, and I think there's this tie, you know, when you see something that's made, you have this emotional connection. You know, it's like going to Napa, you know, and seeing
except
how...
Except for sausage. People
that's
say
true.
You don't want to do, but I do know where you're going, though.
Right.
Awesome. Thank you. New Orleans, the conversation about how the city is changing comes up a lot. We even have a term for our resurgent city, the New Orleans. I'll be in Austin. Your businesses definitely fall into the category of the New Orleans, although some New Orleanians lament that the New Orleans is diluting our culture. Businesses like Big Easy Kombucha and City Greens stand alongside our po' boys and cocktails and help us actually become the cosmopolitan city we've always believed we are. Abhi, Austin, thanks for being part of the New Orleans and giving New Orleanians long-awaited and much-needed healthy options. And thank you both for taking the time to join me today on Out to Lunch.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you for having me.
My guests on Out to Lunch today have been Abhi Bhansali, co-founder of City Greens, and Austin Sherman, the co-founder of Big Easy Bucha. You can find out more about Abhi's eateries and Austin's fermentations by following the links on our websites. It's neworleans.com and wwno.org. Our show is recorded live over lunch at Commander's Palace in New Orleans. Commander's Palace serves lunch Monday through Friday, jazz brunch on Saturday and Sunday, with live music and dinner 7 nights a week. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle, and our researcher is Matthew Ellefson. Mitchell Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. Mitch's music is available wherever great jazz is sold, streamed, or stolen. And at mitchellforeman.com. You can get the show as a podcast, you can listen to past shows, and you can keep up with us on all kinds of social media by going to our websites, wwno.org and itsneworleans.com. If you want to know what we look like, and remember, this is radio, you can find photos from this show on our website and Facebook page. The photos were taken today by Allison Moon. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsneworleans.com and WWNO 89.9 FM. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. Thanks for joining me. I look forward to meeting you again next week around the table here at Commander's Palace for more business, New Orleans style, on Out to Lunch.
Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with more than 375 attorneys and offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base, joneswalker.com. Additional support comes from Luba Workers' Comp and 30 North Investments.